Today's Shir is Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Tes. We will begin on Daf Kuf Ches, Amid Beis, 10 lines from the bottom. Amar Mar Okfa Amar Shmuel. Shara Adam Kilurim. A person may soak different types of herbs that he puts on his eye on Erev Shabbos. He may prepare them from Erev Shabbos, and he put them V'nois Al Gabe Eina B'Shabbos, and he can put it on his eyes on Shabbos, ve'ena choshesh, and it's not considered refuah b'Shabbos. The reason is that it's not considered a problem is because since he prepared it from Erev Shabbos, so the reason Chazal said that we may not use medicine on Shabbos, as we discussed in our previous year, is because Chazal were concerned with shchikas samamonim. The person may grind and prepare those medicines. But here, that he prepared them from Erev Shabbos, so the fact that he prepared them from Erev Shabbos, that makes a hecker, he shows that he didn't prepare them on Shabbos, and therefore it's mutter. However, the Rishonim and Achronim also add that it's not that all medicines are mutter to be placed on Shabbos if they were prepared before Shabbos. What the Gemara means to say here is that since it's not being eaten as a medicine, it's only being put on the eye, so it's less of a concern, coupled with the fact that it was prepared before Shabbos, that's why we could be lenient. Balavoy, have a kamei de marukva. Balavoy was standing in front of marukva. Chazer de have a mayitzu posach. He saw that he was putting this on his eye, opening and closing his eye. Amalei, so he said to him, kule hai vadi lashadim marshmul. Even though, as we just learned, they were a little more lenient with this medicine that was prepared from before Shabbos, even though they were a little more lenient, they weren't lenient to the degree that you could use it as a regular medicine. And that's why the halacha is that you can't just place it in such a significant manner. Sholach lei Reb Yanei lemar ukva. Lishna ma mahanach kilurin de mar Shmuel. Please send us some of the kilurin of mar Shmuel. Sholach lei shidurim b'shanalach. I'm going to send you. D'leitem for you should not say tzar ayin ona, that I'm stingy. El d'hochi am Shmuel. But I want you to know that better than any medicine that I could tell you is what Shmuel taught us. The best thing is to put some cold water on your eyes in the morning. And wash your hands and feet in the evening with hot water. That is more effective than any other medicine that I could recommend to you. Tanya Nami Hochi. Amr Muna Mishim Rabbi Yehuda, Toiv Tiba Tzayin and Shachris, V'chit Tzudayim Reglayim Arvis, Mikol Kiruin Sheba Oilem. Who are you, Amr? Rabbi Muna used to say, Yad La'ayim. Now, Gemara begins now the sugya of teaching us about the halachas of washing Negel Vas in the morning. We know what the halacha is, that every morning one should wash Negel Vasar, and the Gemara is teaching us that if somebody touches his eyes before he washed his hands, he cuts it. Better that the hand should be cut off than it should touch the eye. And similarly, yad l'chaitim, a hand before washed hands touches the nose, to cuts it. It's better that the hand should be cut off. Yad l'pet cuts it, the same with the mouth. Yad l'oizen cuts it, the same with the ears. Yad l'chasuda, in a place where there is a hole, where they made a hole, they used to do hakozes adam, bloodletting. It's very important not to touch that hole. And the mefarshim, the paiskim say, this halacha, that one shouldn't touch where there was a hole made for bloodletting, is certainly one shouldn't touch that area before they washed Negel Vasar in the morning. But not only may they not touch that area before they washed Negel Vasar in the morning, they shouldn't touch that area any time during the day. The same Yad La'omer to cut it. One shouldn't touch his private parts before he washes Negel Vasser, nor should he touch those parts any time during the day. Yad Lafita Pasta cuts, it's the same as one should never touch the rectum, both before Negel Vasser or any time during the day. These are places that are very sensitive that you shouldn't touch. Yad Legigas, a person who touches the beer before he washed Negel Vasser, Tikotzitz should be better cut off. One should be very, very careful not to touch any food before he washes Negel Vasser. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch, however, says that this halacha as well, where the Gemara says that you shouldn't touch anything, touch the beer, is not only before you wash Negel Vasser, but any time you should not touch the beer excessively. And the halacha is that if, the Mishnah Berurah says, that if food was touched before Shacharis, then the halacha is you should wash that food before you eat it, if at all possible. The Shlavrom, however, points out that these halachas that our Gemara is being so strict about touching anything before you wash Negel Vasser is only if the person intends to get up for the day. But if somebody intends to wakes up during the night and he intends to go back to sleep, so the Eish Lavrom is a little more lenient in what he's allowed to do in touching. There's also a very interesting discussion. At what age does one have to start washing Negel Vasser? The Prima Godim says that it's appropriate to wash Negel Vasser on children, even when they're very young, because as we're learning in our Gemara, touching parts of the body, touching food before you wash Negel Vasser is a sakana. And there's a klal, chamira sakanta miyasura. We're more concerned about a sakana than iser, and therefore he should wash his hand. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch Harav in Madura Bay, Siman Dalet Sif Bay, says that even though technically there is no chiyuv of washing Negel Vasser for a child before he came to the age of chinuch, but the Shulchan Aruch Harav says, Hanizer Miyayim Hamila, somebody who's careful to wash the hands of a child from when he has his bris mila, Kaddish Yoimrilai. He's considered Kaddish. The Masham and the Das Torah actually says that we have to be more concerned about a cotton Negel Vasser than a Godel. Because he says, a cotton, the Gemara says, as soon as a child is born, he receives a Yetzahara. The Yetzatayv only enters the child's body when he becomes Bar Mitzvah. So here you have a person that doesn't yet have a Yetzatayv. And since he doesn't have a Yetzatayv, he needs to have the Shmira of Negel Vasser. There is a famous discussion from Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Satzal that, as we see in our Gemara, how concerned our Gemara is about this halacha of Negel Vasser. He says that there's a famous story that took place where there was a son of a Lithuanian nobleman, and it's called the Graf Potocki, who became a ger, and he was killed al Kiddush Hashem, actually on Shavuos. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach used to say that when he was killed al Kiddush Hashem, it was such a tremendous Kiddush Hashem that here you had this individual who grew up in the lap of luxury and was Moisa Nefesh to become a Jew and die al Kiddush Hashem. That weakened the Ruach HaTumah that is in the world of if somebody doesn't wash his hands in the morning immediately. Yad Mesama, the hand that touches the eyes before Netilas Yadayim Mesama could cause those eyes to go blind. Yad Mechareshes, the hand that touches the ears could cause deafness. Yad Mala Polypus, it could cause bad breath if it touches the mouth or nose. Tani Reb Nosanayim Baschayim Hizu, this Ruach Ra is a free spirit. And it doesn't rest until you wash it three times. And the Mishnah Berurah paskens that we should wash each hand three times, first the right, then the left. And then the Mishnah Berurah says you should wash it a fourth time. The reason it should be washed a fourth time is that fourth time takes off the hands, the water that's on the hand that got tamei from the three previous washings. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, puch, the eye makeup that somebody puts on his eye, mavah basmelech, could take away this ruach ra that came on the eyes because you didn't wash them. Or paisik sadima, it could cause that the eyes should stop tearing, or mabasei bapafayim, and increases the hair on the eyelids. Vama ma'okfa amashmul, olin, eating this herb that's called olin, it has no effect and has no positive effect on the eye. Others say that it's not about eating the olin, it's talking about putting it on the eye. Om Rav Yosef, kuzbarta, ainba mishum refua. Coriander doesn't help the eyes. Om Rav Shesh, cautious, ainba mishum refua. Haps don't have any medical benefit for the eye. Om Rav Yosef, kuzbarta, I feel a little cautiously. So he said, I, although Rav Yosef was blind, and therefore his eyes weren't anyway working, still, he said, even for me, coriander would have a bad effect on my eyes. Omer Rav Sheshes Gargira, I feel a little mali. Rav Sheshes also was Rahman Slam blind. He said that this plant, Gargira, is so effective, it's even effective for a person who's already, who doesn't see. V'amar, Marok V'amar Shmuel, Komin is Kasha Sharu, Chazal allowed all types of kashas to be eaten on Shabbos, because, as we're going to learn later in the Shir, anything which is a Machal Briyim, anything which is a food that healthy people eat, there is no problem with eating it on Shabbos. L'vama truza, except the type that's called truza. Since that type of haps were only eaten for refuah, so somebody's eating it on Shabbos, it's obviously he's doing it refuah, and therefore it's asur. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chisda, shirika tavya, smearing a roast is permitted, pipui beya, but working with the eggs is asur. That means the Gemara is discussing different melachas. And the Gemara is saying that putting this oil on top of the, or eggs on top of a roast, even if it's hot on Shabbos, as long as it's not boiling, the halacha is that it's mutter. There is no issue. It's not considered bishul. That's the way Rashi seems to learn. And that's the way the Ramban learns. However, others learn that the issue here is an issue of refuah. Our entire sugya is speaking about different refuahs. Pipui meim, that means beating an egg. And Rashi says that the reason it's asur, that it looks like you want to cook the eggs, which of course are asur on Shabbos. However, the Rashba learns that they used to do this to the eggs because that was the way that they used to eat the eggs this way for refuah, and that's what the Gemara is discussing. Is there an issue of refuah or not? Shrika tavi shari, papua beya osur. The visa de zira avdalei. The wife of Zeiri mished together eggs and oil on the roast on Shabbos for chibar vashi. For chibar vashi to have to eat on Shabbos. V'loyochel. But he refused to eat because he thought that one may not do this on Shabbos. Amalei l'rabach. So she said to him, for your Rebbe Zeiri Avdalei, I prepared the roast this way, v'ochel, v'at loy achalt, and you're refusing to eat it. So says the Gemara, Zeiri, the Zeiri that ate the roast that was smeared with the egg and the oil, a person could put clear wine and clear water into the filter and there's no concern for Bayru. Alma, obviously Ziri's opinion is anything that could be eaten without any filtering, That's not called Boirur if you filter it. Lav midiavid, because you're not accomplishing anything. Hachinami, so too by the roast. Kivin demsal hachi, the roast could be eaten perfectly well without these ingredients. So according to his opinion, lav midiavdi, it's lav midikavid, it's not considered you accomplished anything, and that's why it's mutter. Vomar, says the Gemara further. Vomar marukva, misha nokva yode ragloi. Somebody who hand or foot bumped into something and therefore was injured. Tzomsoi b'yayin, he could soak it in wine, v'nechoshish, and he has nothing to worry about. It's not considered that he's doing refuah. Iboilu, so they asked, chalamai, and what will be the halacha of soaking these different parts of the body in vinegar? Amar of Hiller of Ashi, Kavinaber of Kahana, Amri, when they said, when I was in the Yeshiva of Kahana, they said, Chalaloi. It's, you're not allowed to use vinegar. So, the Eglei Tal, the way that we showed him explain the Gemara, is because wine is not that effective, and vinegar is much more effective. So ask the Eglei Tal, what's the difference if it's somewhat effective or very effective? So he says that the difference between vinegar and wine is that vinegar has the ability to stop even the blood that was in the system that was already starting to go out of the Avrim, it could stop it from going out. That's called the refuah. The wine doesn't have that ability. All it does, it has the ability to prevent something from happening. But something which is already happening, the wine can't stop. And therefore, the Eglei Tal, and this is an important concept, differentiates when we speak about medicine between something which is preventative, where he's more lenient, versus something which is therapeutic, where he's more machmer. Amar Rav, v'hani b'nei mechuzah, but the people of mechuzah, kivin the mefakni, since they're very delicate, afil chamin nami masalahu, so even wine is for them something which is therapeutic, and something which is therapeutic is also. Says the Gemara, Rabina ikle bei Ravashi. Rabina came to the home of Ravashi, Chazi the drich le chamra gaba de kare, and he saw that a donkey had run over his foot. V'yosef katzom slei b'chala, and he's sitting and soaking his foot in vinegar. Amalei le sovim ma'alahodam Rav Hillel chalala, that you're not allowed to soak something in Shabbos in vinegar, omelet, so to which he responded, gava yad v'gava regel shani. Some, a wound on the top of the hand or on the top of the foot is different. Why? Because, as the Or Zeruah explains, a makkah, a wound in those parts of the body are considered very serious. And of course, whenever we're dealing with sakonis nefashis, that, of course, may be done on Shabbos. Ikadamri, a different version of this episode. Chazia the Katsom Slei Bechamra. He saw that he was soaking the leg in wine. Omale, so he asked him, Lai Savala Mala Hodam Rava, Hani Muzi Kim, Hani Bene Mechuzah, Kim the Mefanki. The people from Mechuzah are very delicate, sensitive. Afil Chamra Nam Maslahu. Even wine is a refuah. And therefore, why are you soaking it in wine? Oman Nami HaMefunik, aren't you a very sensitive individual? Amalei, to which he responded, Gava Yad V'Gava Regel Shani, Domer of Adab Amas Domer Rav, Gava Yad V'Gava Regel, Harei Kamako Shecholo. It's considered like a wound which is inside the body, and any wound which is an internal wound is considered a Cholo Shesh B'Sakona, and therefore Mechal Leim Asa Shabbos. Says the Gemara Tana Rabbanan, Reichsim B'Mei Gror, one could bathe in the water of Gror, b'mei chamsim in the water of chamsim, b'mei asya in the waters of asya, b'mei tveri in the water of tveria, aval loy b'yam ha-godl. One may not soak themselves in the yam ha-godl in Shabbos, v'loy b'mei mishra, not in water that was used for soaking flax, v'loy b'yam ha-shestoyim, and not in the water of sedoyim. Ask the Gemara Vermini, but it says in a different brisa, Roichts Mimei Tveria V'Yamagodl. One could bathe himself in the water of Tveria and the water of the Yamagodl. Avlo Bimei Mishra, he can't soak yourself in the water in which linen was soaked. So ask the Gemara, Kasha Yamagodla Yamagodl. One place it says that you're allowed to soak in the Yamagodl. And this price it says you're allowed to soak in the Yamagodl. And the previous price it says you're not allowed to soak in the Yamagodl. Answers the Gemara, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Loi Kasha. Ha Remeir, the Brisa that allows you to use the Yamagodl represents the opinion of Remeir. Ha, the Brisa that says that you can't wash the Yamagodl represents the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. So in order to understand the next Gemara, we know that the Torah, when it speaks about a body of water in which one can immerse himself, which we always call a mikvah, is really there are two types of mikvahs. There's something which is known as a mikvah, and there's something which is known as mayim chayim. The difference between a mikvah and mayim chayim is that a mikvah, as is explained, is a standing pool of water. A standing pool of water is a mikvah. Water which is flowing is a yamagodl. When the Torah, in certain situations, requires mayim chayim, an example for a zov, or for the dam of the tzipor that was spritzed on the metzora, for the preparation of the mechatos, the mayim of the parah aduma, all of these situations, you need mayim chayim, and a mikvah, it cannot be, mikvah water cannot be used for that purpose. Furthermore, a mayan can be used to immerse yourself even when the water is flowing. However, a mikvah, a place which is designated as a mikvah, can only be used that way when the water is stationary. The Tanan. So the Mishnah, this Mishnah actually plays twice in Shas. Once in Masech the Paro, Perek Ches Mishnah Ches, and once in Masech the Mikvahs, Perek Hei Mishnah Dalet. Teaches us the Mishnah, Kol Hayamim, all oceans, Kol Hayamim, all oceans are considered like, all seas are considered like a mikvah. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, Ule Mikve Hamayim Kor Hayamim. All of the waters were called, all of the seas were called a mikvah. So all seas are called a mikvah, Divrei Rameyah. Rav Yudaimer, Rav Yehuda disagrees. Yam HaGodl K'mikvah. The Yam HaGodl, which is the Atlantic Ocean, is what the Pasuk refers to as the Mikveh HaMayim Kor Yamim. And as the Rishonim point out, according to the opinion of Rav Yehuda, it's not just the Atlantic Ocean that's considered, but it means any of the oceans that lead into the, any of the seas that lead into the Atlantic Ocean, like the Mediterranean Sea, the North Sea, all of them are considered a mikvah. And the reason, even though it's referring only to the one ocean, to the Atlantic Ocean, so why does the Pasuk use the word yamim, which is Lashon Rabim? El Sheyesh Boi Yamim Harbe. For explain, many different rivers and seas lead into this Atlantic Ocean. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, Kol HaYamim, Metarim Bezoichlin. All rivers and all oceans can be used as a mikvah, even when they're flowing. The only place where they're disqualified is Psulim L'Zovel Mitzrayim. They can't be considered Mayim Chayim for Zovel Mitzrayim or L'Kadosh by Mayim Chatas. For that point, they're considered a mikvah and not considered a ocean that could be considered Mayim Chayim. Reb Meir, we see, doesn't differentiate between all the different oceans. And he says all Yamim have the same din. Reb Yehuda does differentiate. So the way Taisa says, what does that have to do? Isn't that a concept of, as the Gemara is going to point out, of Tumat Tahara, what does that have to do with Shabbos? So Taisa seems to learn that the reason Reb Yehuda differentiates between the Yam HaGodl and all other Yamim is because the Yam HaGodl is very salty. This is Taisus, the Remaskal Ha. And since it's very salty, that's why it using that water is a refuah. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that the Yamagadl water, which is very salty, you can't bathe in on Shabbos. All other oceans, which are in seas, which aren't that salty, you may use on Shabbos. However, that can't be Ramea's opinion, because Ramea treats all oceans and seas the same way. And therefore, obviously, Ramea holds that all oceans and seas are the same, and you could bathe in them on Shabbos. Maskler of Nachman Bar Yitzchak, so Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, as we just said, Eima de Pligi, where do we find a machloikus between Ramea and Rabbi Yehuda? Linyan Tumah V'Tahara. Regarding Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara, that's where there's a differentiation, as we just explained. However, from where, even though Tosfos says a svara, that isn't the simple pshat. Linyan Shabbat mi Shabbos lahu, is that where do we take a difference? So we're back to our original question. Can you bathe the stira, if one may bathe on Shabbos in the Yamagadl or not? Elam Rav Nachman Yitzchak Lakasha. Hodeshtoi, if one remains for a while in the water, so then it's obvious that it's doing it for refuah, and therefore it's asur. Hodeloyishtoi, but if somebody's not remaining there for a while, in and out, then it doesn't appear like refuah. So ask the Gemara. But my kimtel besraisa, so when do we say that you're allowed to bathe in the Yamagadl? Deloyishtoi, if you don't remain there for a while. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case of that brisa, so if so, if you're not allowed to stay there for a long time, so then if we're talking about a case where you're not staying there for a long time, so if so, ask the Gemara, afil b'mei mashunami. So then even if you're sitting in water with a soaked flax, you should be allowed to go there. D'artanya, haven't we learned in a brisa? You could bathe in all these different types of water. Even if you have different wounds, sores on your head, but medvar mamurim, as long as shalin ishtar, that you don't remain there for a while. Av nishtar, if you remain there for a while, asr. So if we're talking about in that brisa, that you're not remaining there, so then everything should be mutter. El says the Gemara, this is the way we have to reconcile the brises. Yamagadl kasha, habi yofin shabai. There are parts in the Yamagadl that aren't that salty. So therefore, somebody who goes into that spot in the water, it's not obvious that he's doing it for refuah. And therefore, you could remain there. Ha, but there are parts of the Yamagadl that the water isn't that pleasant. The water is very salty. Somebody who goes into those parts of the Yamagadl, it's obvious that he's going there for refuah, and therefore it's asur. And the same, says the Gemara, may mishra, we just learned the brisa that you can't go into water in which linen was soaked. And then we learned the brisa that you may. And it says the Gemara, Hodeshtai, if you're going to remain in that water, so it's obvious that you're remaining in that foul water, and therefore it's asur, Hodeloyishtai, but if you're not there for, if you're not remaining there, then it's mutter. So, as we have been learning, Chazal said that one may not do refuah on Shabbos. We have to be very careful whenever we speak about this halacha, that of course, if it's a situation of sakonas nefashis, everything may be done. The word of the Shulchan Aruch is, I feel the G'dayla Yisrael, everybody should do what it takes if it's a situation of sakonas nefashis. The question here is, what is different situations? A chayla she'ein bo sakana. So the Shulchan Aruch brings the halacha that in a situation of a chayla she'ein bo sakana, where it's not sakonas nefashis, you could only do amira l'nochri, asking a non-Jew to do what's evolved. What's going to be halacha if it's a sakonas aver, as we spoke before? Some say that even if there's a sakonas aver, you may not do a malacha deraisa. Other, the Ramah says that if somebody is nafal mishkav, if somebody is so not well that he has to go to bed, you're allowed to do a drabonon even through a yisrael. And the Gra holds that even a melacha deraisa under those circumstances may be done through a nachri. That's doing the different refuahs. Our Mishnah now begins to talk about the fundamental halacha, which, as we've been discussing, the reason Chazal was so concerned about refuah on Shabbos is because Chazal were concerned about shchika samamonim, that somebody's going to make medicine. So the question is, what is or isn't included in that category? Says the Mishnah, "Ein oichlim izyavim b'Shabbos." One may not eat this type of grass the Gemara is going to identify on Shabbos, l'fish ena machal b'riyim. It's not something that's eaten by healthy people. So what our Mishnah is teaching us is that when is there an isser of refuah? That's when it's obvious that what you're doing is l'tzorich refuah. But something that even healthy people eat, then they didn't make a gzeira. The example we always give is chicken soup. Even if somebody's eating chicken soup for refuah purposes, however, many people obviously eat chicken soup just because they want to eat chicken soup. So since it's not obvious that it's being eaten for a refuah, the halacha is that everybody can eat on Shabbos. Even though they have therapeutic value, since everybody eats these foods, you could eat them on Shabbos. Says the Mishnah, all foods could be eaten as a refuah. Anything which is a meichel b'riyim may be eaten. There's a machloikus, the bir halacha, and simen shin lechavches, divrei maskel of Avol, has a question. What happens if you're eating it with the express purpose for refuah? So the Mishnah Berurah seems to quote from Rishonim that a machmer. The Rambam holds that anything which is in the category of a machal b'riyim, anything which is in the category that healthy people eat, is mutter. Chutz made the column, what may not be eaten is wood of a palm tree, the kais ikrin, a portion that they used to cause sterility, because they were used only for jaundice when somebody had this machla. Avashoysa made the column with simai. If you're drinking the water of the palm trees just because you're thirsty, the sach shem ikrin shalayl refuah, and you could smear yourself if there's no purpose of refuah. So there's a very serious discussion here when the Mishnah says shoysim made the kolam litzimai, that somebody could drink the water of the palm tree when he's thirsty. So the question is, how do we understand this Mishnah? So as we said, the Rambam opinion is that even if he's eating the food when the intent of refuah, if it's a food, the halacha is that you could eat it. So Rashi in the Torah, explaining when the Mishnah says, speaks here about the Mei, the Kolam, says that when we're allowing somebody to drink Mei, the Kolam, Litzimai, who is the person that's allowed to drink Mei, the Kolam, Litzimai? Only of an unhealthy person. And as the Beis Yosef explains Rashi's opinion, it doesn't depend on your intent. According to Rashi, it depends on who you are. And therefore, the Mishnah is saying, according to them, that a healthy person is allowed to drink Mei Dekolim, because that, why would he drink Mei Dekolim? Because he doesn't need to drink it because he's not well. He's drinking the Mei Dekolim to quench his thirst. And therefore, according to the Beis Yosef, his understanding of Rashi, why would be the halacha on a sick person who's drinking Mei Dekolim, but his intention is to quench his thirst? According to Rashi, it would be prohibited. According to Rambam, we could be more lenient. The Magen Avraham paskens that you could only drink medicine when he's a bari. He has to be a healthy person, and his intention is to quench his thirst. According to the Beis Yosef, we could be more lenient. And according to Beis Yosef, the Gezeirah was only made by sick people and not by a healthy person. So the Gersmosh explains that what's going to be the nafkamina between the Beis Yosef and the Magen Avraham, it's regarding taking vitamins on Shabbos. According to the Beis Yosef, a healthy person could take vitamins only if it's going to give him strength, because the issue of medicine, according to the Beis Yosef, never applies to healthy people. But according to the Magen Avraham, since they're not being taken for health, just to eat, so even though the person that's taking them is taking them for, is a healthy person, but he's not taking it to quench his thirst, example in the Mishnah, he's taking it for therapeutic reasons. And therefore, according to the Magen Avraham, even a healthy person may not eat foods, letzorech refuah, even though he's Baruch Hashem healthy. Whereas according to the Beis Yosef, anybody, as long as you're healthy, you could do anything. Then Rav Moshe says that it could be that even the Magen Avraham will agree that a healthy person could take vitamins on Shabbos, because he says vitamins aren't taken to heal. Vitamins are typically taken as a preventative measure. So then it's not necessarily considered a medicine. So certainly there where you have a situation where a person is healthy. So according to the Beis Yosef, he could take anything. But even according to the Magen Avraham, since it's not really being taken as what would be called a classic refuah, he is lenient. There's a beautiful vort from the Tveris Shloima. The Tveris Shloima says, our Mishnah says, Kala oichlem oichl adam l'refuah, that a person, the Kala mashkim shayson. So the Tveris Shloima used to explain, Kala oichlem, anything one eats on Shabbos, the Kala mashkin, anything one drinks on Shabbos, any food and drink that we eat and drink on Shabbos is l'refuah, brings a refuah to us. The Gemara now, in Mitzvah Shem, is going to begin by discussing various herbs and other foods that were considered medicines. It's very important. In fact, the Yam Shel Shleimus says there's a cheirim, hakadmoinim, not to rely on any of the medicines that are mentioned in Shas. And the reason is, A, because we're really not sure exactly what the various foods and herbs that the Gemara is discussing are really. So we can't be sure that when we're taking any of these refuahs that we're doing exactly what Chazal meant. And also, nishtanu hativim. Our bodies are not the same as the bodies that were in the time of Chazal. And therefore, what had therapeutic value in the time of Chazal does not necessarily work nowadays. So says the Gemara, Amar of Yosef, the Mishnah began by speaking about the Zavion. What is the Zavion? Amar of Yosef, Ezev Abarta Bar Hamag. It's the type of a Hamag. Zavion is Abarta Bar Hinig. Different types of grit, different types of grass. Ulama Mari Chavya. It's white sage. Ula Iklebei Rashmu Bar Yehuda. Ula once came to the home of Rashmu Bar Yehuda. Aisla Kamei Mara Chivra, and they brought white sage before him. Omar, Haina Ezov the Kisiba Raisa. The Torah speaks about taking the Ezov and for Hazar, and this is the Ezov. Rab Papi Omar Shumshik. The Ezov is Shumshik. Omar of Yumi Medifta. Kavasei the Rapapi Mustabra. Rapapi's opinion is the most understandable one, the Tanan. Because the Mishnah, when it describes the halacha of taking agudas ezef, says mitzvah ezef, how is the mitzvah properly performed? Shloisha klochim, you take three stems of the plant, or ben shloisha gvolim, that on which there are three capsules, the shumshuk, and if you look at the shumshuk grass, hudim shtakechachi, you find that it grows that way with the three stems and the three capsules. Ask the Gemara, lamai achlelei, for what disease was it taken? Lekukiani, for worms in the intestines. But my achlele, well, what else was this put? It was like a spice. So what is it put on? B'sheva tamri uchmasa, with seven black dates. Mimai havya, how does somebody get this disease? Mikimcha de sari, from eating barley flour, the hachav ala abam yoim, which is 40 days old. Aval oichlos yoezer. We learned that you may eat yoezer. Ask the Gemara, my yoezer, pusnik. Ask the Gemara, my achlele, for what disease was that eaten? Le'ur arkasa, for worms in the liver. But my achlele, with what food was it eaten? B'sheva tamri chaverta, with seven white dates. Mimai havya, how does one get worms in the liver? Mi umtsu umai alibir kamna, from eating raw meat and drinking water on an empty stomach. On bisra shmeina alibir kana, or from eating fatty meat on an empty stomach. On bisra tayra alibir kana, or from eating ax meat on an empty stomach. Mamguza alibir kana, or eating nuts on an empty stomach. On magira derubia alibir kana, or from eating stems of the rubia, the fungicrete plant, on an empty stomach. Or mishtabai basrei, and then drinking water after eating any of these foods. Viloi. And another refuah for worms in the liver, livli tichli chavarta, to swallow white cress. Viloi, and another remedy, there's a machlokes how to understand this gemara. Some say viloi means a different remedy, and some say what it means is that if this doesn't work, try this. Leisa batenesa, fast, v'leisa bisra shamna, and then bring fat meat, v'lishrei agumra, and throw that meat on burning coals, v'limitz garma, and suck out the juicy part piece of the meat, v'ligma chala, and sip vinegar, v'kadam richalala, don't drink vinegar, v'shem dekash lekavda, vinegar is not good for the liver. V'loi, laisa gurda da sinta, bring the bark of a bush, the grida meloila tatoi, that's been peeled downwards, the peel being peeled downwards, v'loi metatoi leloi, not if it was bark was peeled upwards, because if you take it that way, in the direction that the bark was peeled is the direction in which the worms will leave the body. So if you peel the bark downwards, the worms will leave with your waist. If you peel it upwards, el chas v'shom come out of your mouth. The bark should be boiled in a beer at twilight. The next day we should close all the nostrils and of his body, not to smell this bad concoction. Velishti, and drink it. Vechimafni, and when he goes to the bathroom, mafni apishka the dikla, he should go to the bathroom on the strip part of the tree. Veshoisa avavra. We learned in the Mishnah you could drink avavra. My avavra chumetrayu. My chumtraya chutri yachidi. It's a stick. Lamai avdalei. That means a type of a branch of a tree. Lamai avdalei legaluye. If somebody drank in the time of Chazal, they were very makbid about not drinking liquids that were left open, because liquids that were left open, snake could have dropped their venom. So somebody who drank such exposed liquid, this is what he should take for a four. Viloi, leisa chamisha kalali. He should bring five roses, v'chamisha chumsa de shikra, and five cups of beer. V'nishaklinu v'hadi adadi, cook them together, ad dekaima afika v'nishti, until you have the size of an ampak of that portion of medicine, and drink it. She prepared for a certain person who drank exposed water, one rose, and one cup of beer. Sholka, she cooked them together, and she gave him to drink. And then she put on the oven, and she shoveled out the coals. And she put a brick inside on which she made the person sit. And poison came out of his body that looked like the green leaf of a palm branch. Rav Aviyama, Ravisa the Chalba Me'iza Chaverta, he should drink a quarter of a loig of milk from a white goat. Rav Huna by Yehudama, Laisa Esrig Chalisa, he should bring a sweet esrig, V'lachkei, and make a hole in it, V'lamalei Dufsha, and fill it up with honey, V'lusim Mele the Dunra, and put that on top of burning coals of fire that the esrog should get cooked in the honey, v'lechle, and he should eat that food. He should bring urine. There's two pshatim that I saw, either urine that's 40 days old or urine of a 40-day-old baby. And the Sharm Tzionim Balacha says that even though obviously ingesting urine is disgusting, and we mentioned many times there's a Isser about the Shaksu, says the Sharm Tzionim Balacha that when something that is taken as a medicine, even though the medicine itself may be something very repulsive, but if you're taking it L'tzorech Refuah, there is no issue about the Shaksu. So again, bring the Meir Glein B'nei Erbam Yoim, Barzina L'Sabura. If one should drink a barzina of it for a wasp sting, Revia, you should drink a Revia of this Meir Glein for a scorpion sting, Palga Revia L'Gluya, a half a log of this should be drunk for exposed water, River Afil K'shufamala, and if you drink a Revia, it could work even against Kishuf. Omer, Rabbi Yochanan, and Girim, water in which they boiled spinach, Vavignar, water in which they boiled Vitaki and balsam, Malay, Vavignar, water in which Bigrin has been boiled, Vitaki and balsam oil, Malay, Bain Legluya, Bain Legshafim, are effective both against drinking uncovered water and against Kishuf.